podcasts. Every podcast has a beginning. Welcome to the Common Geeking Program. It's a book club where a bunch of nerds get together and discuss the metaphorical, metaphysical.
Can you please explain what the fuck you're doing to my podcast right now?
He's changing it up. He's introing from his own geeky, nerdy perspective, Colin. Come on, get it right.
Oh, yeah, that's what we do here at the Common Geeking Program.
It's like a book club.
Well, let's get into it. Hi, what's going on?
My name is Colin Ketchin, co-creator of the Common Geeking Program. That's as much alliteration as I can fit in. And I'm talking about The Dark Tower, the book. Only the first book, because I've only read the first book.
Noob.
And the movie comes out in like a week, so I'm not talking about the movie Dark Tower.
Doesn't the movie have more than just the first book?
And not Dark Tower 7, because the Dark Tower 7 is called Dark Tower, Dark Tower.
Hey.
This is the first Dark Tower.
Hey.
The Gunslinger.
Hey.
That's what it's called.
Hey.
Christ.
The first fucking movie that they're doing, doesn't that have more than just the first book in it? So aren't you going to spoil it for yourself by watching the movie?
Yeah, I'll explain that in a bit.
Moving on to the next person.
Hi, I'm Laura. Today I will be representing the TV show Westworld.
I'm gonna wait for this garbage.
We don't have time.
This muff cabbage.
Did someone call me a muff cabbage?
I called you muff cabbage, yes. You're muff cabbage.
All right, what are you doing? Who are you?
My name is Pat Bram, or Patrick. I don't really give a shit.
Patty cakes.
Whichever you prefer.
Yeah, I'm representing the domain of Stranger Things, probably the best television show that I've ever seen on Netflix. Let's go.
And me, some prefer to call me Time Wolf. Some prefer to call me Chowder.
Jesus,
you can call me the host.
And I'm really into this. I'm really enjoying this.
I'm so not. This is going to be such a hard recording.
And this episode will be about Bastion, with the theme being genre and its relationship with depicting the past. Well, doing a Logan Cunningham impersonation is really hard.
I don't know who Logan Cunningham is.
Neither do I.
Maybe you should explain what he's from first.
The narrator of the game that you guys played. All right.
Oh!
You're somewhere between the Dos Equis guy, the first Dos Equis guy, and Batman, and that's just
what happened to the first Dos Equis guy?
Oh, yeah, he's gone.
What?
It's really sad.
Well, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Pat's in mourning.
Oh, I don't drink Dos Equis. That shit's garbage.
Nice.
Bastion is a game created by Supergiant Games.
It's ironic because they're an indie studio.
Pretty well known indie studio.
That's irony right there.
Other games they've made include Transistor, a game that I represented way back in the pilot episode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
It did.
The other game it recently came out, Pyre. It's
Pyre.
Pyre's been getting good reviews.
I have it bought. It's in my library. I haven't played it yet. I'm super excited for it. All right.
How about we talk about the game that we're talking about today, and not the games that we're not talking about today?
There's so many of the second kind.
Well, I don't know. I just wanted to give them context into.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I just ate a burger in 2 minutes.
It was not 2 minutes. Don't exaggerate.
Well, I dropped a lot of the burger on that.
Aw, gross.
I also watched a guy eat 12 burgers in like 5 minutes today.
Well,
so.
I can't be every guy, Pat!
Dignity is not becoming of these people.
So Bastion is an isometric, top-down...
Action RPG
/ dungeon crawler.
Its main claim to fame is its narrator.
Proper story is supposed to start at the beginning. Ain't so simple with this one.
It tells the story of the kid.
Yeah, the kid is just, you're this little short dude, white hair, and you drop onto a platform.
Because the world is falling apart.
Yeah.
Now here's a kid whose whole world got all twisted, leaving him stranded on a rock in the sky.
Because the world is falling apart, and the world assembles itself around you as you move.
Which is so cool. Like,
yeah.
It is pretty cool.
It was a great graphic flourish, and I thought it was a gimmick at first, and when I realized it was the whole game, I was pretty excited.
Ground forms up under his feet as it points the way. He don't stop to wonder why.
Yeah, so the goal of the game as you move through is to collect these items.
The cores.
There are two different kinds. There are cores and there are shards. And your goal is to collect those to put the world back together and essentially make like a safe space in your home base.
Yeah, a bastion.
Because the kid is super triggered.
He gets up, sets off for the bastion. where everyone agreed to go in case of trouble.
But you're not putting the world back together necessarily, you're just completing the bastion.
So isometric games, for anyone who doesn't totally know what that means, Diablo, or even think of the camera angles from Roller Coaster Tycoon, that's the angle the camera's at, and the way the world is rising up to assemble in front of you, you don't really get a picture of the built world from the levels themselves. You do really get all of it from the narrator.
He sees what's left of the rippling walls. Years of work undone in an instant.
And the amazing thing about this narrator is, one, he has such a cool voice.
Oh my god, I could listen to the man for hours and not get tired.
Kid's worked up quite a thirst by now. Sometimes you just need a drink.
If you like his voice, don't listen to the intro of this podcast, because Chatter will ruin it for you.
But don't listen to ours after you listen to him.
Probably too late for that.
True. The most interesting thing is that the narration is dynamic. You have a few selections of weapons, swords, guns.
There's actually quite a lot of variety.
And the commentary from the narrator changes based on what weapon you're using.
An old repeater falls out of the sky. Gotta hold her still to spin up the chamber.
At first, I just thought, like, this is a neat gimmick. This is cool. It makes me feel more connected to it. And then I played like an hour of the game while on the phone, and that was a fucking mistake. I felt like I didn't enjoy the game as much when I wasn't listening to him. So for the rest of the game, I just sat and listened.
Yeah, the narrator is sort of the spine of this game. He carries a lot of the emotional weight, as well as gives you the exposition you need. And what feels like it should have been a gimmick just feels like this a perfect match, you know?
Yeah, it really made the soul of the game.
Yeah, it felt like I was reading a book.
Or watching a movie or something.
Like the amount of insight you get.
Although, you know, when you think about it, you know, a lot of games are narrated. It's just that, like, the narrator is diegetic. Like,
yeah, there isn't really any other conversation that happens. He is the only real speaking that you hear for the most part. That's not entirely true.
When you
but
go back to the Bastion, you can talk to Zulf or Zia or the
Ruck. Yeah, Ruck.
Rux is the name of the old guy. The
Rux
stranger.
Is the narrator.
Yeah, yeah. Like in other games, the narration would be diegetic, like, say, Cortana talking to Master Chief. That's
in Halo.
In Halo, yeah. That's diegetic. She's talking to him, telling him what his goals are.
Yeah, except this didn't feel like, you know, how Cortana tells you where to go. This felt like someone was reading a book to you, but you're doing the
action.
Yeah, this wasn't like someone telling you where to go and what to do. This was someone giving you the emotional weight of the story.
And what you find out from Rux, / what I had to look up on Wikipedia after I played the game, is that there was a city called Celandria, and an underground There was a city called Celandria, and there was an underground civilization of people named the Ura, and they were fighting, and they broke everything.
Spoiler alerts.
And the Bastion is supposed to rewind time.
The Bastion, Celandria's safe haven.
The Celandians were foreigners who came and built a place on land that was originally the Ura.
Once the highest point in the city.
And this led to tensions between the two groups. After a while, a calamity occurred.
Too bad it wasn't finished before the calamity struck.
This caused the destruction of Celandria and substantial damage to the Ura's homeland. We later find out that the calamity was caused by the Bastion. The Bastion was originally created as a sort of last resort in case the Ura were to ever attack Celandria again, and the reason it caused the calamity was...
Yeah, he added a contingency in that would also destroy Celandria as well as cause massive damage as a fuck you.
Yeah,
and the choice you get to make at the very end of the game is, do you try to rewind time to undo that calamity, or do you just say, fuck it, steer into the skid and try and rebuild?
Inside's old Rondi, the bartender. The calamity got him for his drinking did.
You get to make two choices at the end of the game, though.
One involves a character named Zolt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I saved him. I didn't even think of that as a choice.
Yeah, I saved him, too.
Yeah.
I'm an asshole.
Wow, Pat. Fuck
Pat's
you.
Pat's a fucking asshole.
He was a dick!
That, like, all the destruction of his world was caused by the Celandians. Of course he's gonna be pissed.
I don't give a shit. And it's not my fault.
Okay.
And he dicked me over. Like, he broke the fucking Bastion and made me go find these shards to build it up again. So fuck him.
After he broke the Bastion, you get to find so many more cool weapons.
That's
and,
true.
And, like, you get to upgrade more of the buildings.
I understand that.
The reason I wanted to talk about Bastion was It has this core.
It does have cores.
Heyo.
It does indeed have cores.
Multiple cores.
Anyways, its central theme is about dealing with the past. It's about looking towards the past and coming to the decision. Do I romanticize it? Do I run away from it? Or do I accept it for what it really is and move on?
Or do I put all my money into upgrading the dual pistols because those are the best fucking weapons in the game?
So fucking good.
Dude, the scrap musket is clearly the best.
Yeah, scrap musket.
Scrap musket, limited utility compared to the pistols.
I don't know. They did me well. The scrap musket did me well.
Yeah, I'll take that from a fucking casual.
Ouch. But true, though.
But yeah, you can see it in many different parts of the game. You can see it in how Rux, like, talks about Celandia. It's very romanticized. It's very nostalgic.
So nostalgic.
Yeah, while at no point he ever, like, lies to you, it's very clear that everything he says is filtered through his own biases.
I really do wish I paid closer attention to him. I might actually play through the game again to do that, especially with New Game Plus, because I guess some of the dialogue changes. But I was so wrapped in the gameplay. I had so much fun playing the game that I lost track of some of the larger story beats, and I was just paying attention to when it's like, yeah, so it'll do these guys right around here. I'm like, I am using a sword. Thank you for noticing. Wow, it's all about me.
They have like a movie you can watch on YouTube. It's just like a 2-hour long, and it includes all the snippets that the narrator says.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
Who wants to listen to hours of people just talking?
That sounds really relaxing. I want to do that to go to sleep.
I literally watched it while falling asleep. Yeah, like.
Yeah, he's got a good voice.
Yeah, I also recommend playing through the who knows where's. They're just sequences.
Oh yeah, like when you take a rip off the hookah, and then you just get like
the hookah.
Hookah.
He does take a rip off the hookah. Yeah.
Hookah.
My bad.
And I also, like the hookah. I don't know. Stick with it.
There's also one for Zia and Zolf. And I wanted to talk about it because between the Celandians and the Ura, it's hard not to like draw a parallel between Celandians and westward expansion and the Ura and the Native Americans. And I don't think we mentioned this before, but Bastion could be best described as a Western fantasy. And I wanted to talk about it because it's this game that's interpreting the Western for a modern audience. And the Western is a genre that's been abandoned by most audiences. And I optimistically like to believe that that audience has ditched it because of changing values in how we see the Native Americans. And I see Bastion as a reaction to that.
Let us move to the domains. We start off with a man with an insatiable appetite for
penises.
Burgers. The old man.
The old man. I'm not the oldest person.
The senior.
And I'm the second youngest person on this call.
No, I'm definitely the oldest person on this call.
Pat's older than me.
For sure.
The fuck? How old are you, Laura?
You'll never know.
You're 26.
Just kidding, I'm 27.
Close.
You can tell if you count the diabetes rings on the app, it's like a treat.
I kind of just based it off of nothing at all.
Yeah, no, you didn't at all. All right,
just a guess.
So hello, my name is Colin.
Hi,
Pat. How are you doing, Pat?
I'm pretty good.
I haven't talked to you in a while. We played a little bit of Destiny 2, right?
They go on to make mindless chatter for.
What was your favorite subclass?
I only played the Titan.
Oh, well,
they talk about an overrated MMO.
It's not overrated.
Can the whole discussion be the three of us talking and chatter narrating?
That would be amazing.
So I'm talking about the Dark Tower, colon, the gunslinger.
He talks about the Dark Tower, finally.
Jesus fucking Christ. I just finished the book yesterday. I've been reading it over the course of the month, bit by bit. It's a book by Stephen King, written in 1982. He considers the Dark Tower franchise his magnum opus. His pistol dog. No, pistol penguin. What am I talking about?
His dual pistol penguin?
What? Can someone please draw a picture of that and email it to us?
Yes.
CommonGeekingProman@gmail.com.
CommonGeekingProman?
CommonGeekingProman.
Oh, okay. So the Dark Tower is sort of a Western. It starts off and you feel like it's a normal Western. Now, this is a series of 7 or 8 books at this point. A movie's coming out soon. But this first book follows a character named Roland. He is a gunslinger and he is tracking down a man known only as the Man in Black. And throughout his travels, you start to realize that this is not our Earth.
I don't know, man. I read the first 10 pages and I knew it wasn't Earth.
Yeah, I'm trying to spin a fucking story, okay, woman, lady,
it's
person?
It's 9 books, you idiot!
So I'm super underprepared. Why did I scream?
I don't know. So, it was very loud, though.
Because they're talking about Jesus, and they're talking about, like, all
Where
these
the
old songs.
Where did Jesus come from?
They're talking about Jesus, man. Fucking Eastern. Susan Big Titties is running the
How
church
do
down the way.
They have the same Jesus as us.
That's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
Fuck.
Okay.
So, like, they have some stuff that's like, oh, yeah, this is Earth. And then they start saying some stuff that's like, oh, that's not our Earth. And then the man in black breakdances on a dead guy, and the guy comes back to life. And you're like, that's not our Earth.
I'm going to get to see Matthew McConaughey breakdance in this shit.
I don't know. I'll explain why you might not. He's tracking down the man in black, and he finds this kid. And the thing that really shakes you up is that this kid has a dream. And in his dream, he talks about Coca-Cola and Oreos and office buildings in Manhattan. And you're like, none of that shit was in the Wild West. What the fuck are you talking about? The book ends up being a sci-fi where the Dark Tower is actually a barrier between dimensions. And I have not read beyond the first book, so I'm probably underprepared. But the whole book feels like it's in the past. The language is older.
That shit happens so much in sci-fi, though.
Yeah.
It's like the distant future becomes what we thought of the past, like in Firefly.
And that's actually where the movie comes into play, because I believe after the seventh book, the path of the gunslinger becomes cyclical. So the movie that's coming out is going to be an adaptation of the first book, but also a sequel.
Does that mean Idris Elba's going to die?
Idris Elba, no!
I love him.
He's my favorite actor.
He is dreamy.
The reason that this kind of struck a chord with me for Bastion is maybe because I was more absorbed in the world and how you just had this guy talking about, like, yeah, that's how things used to be. And his abilities as a gunslinger, he is very dexterous and adept. And when I was using those dual pistols in Bastion, I really felt like I was getting that same sort of, like, I'm so fucking good with these pistols. Oh my God, get at me, Man in Black. Eat a dick, McConaughey. The past societal developments that we don't know a lot about, as well as the stylistic musings of the narrator, both really spoke to me in both of these things, probably more than the other elements. That's what I got.
All right.
You do not play as Idris Elba in Bastion, so I'm going to take some points off for that.
Yeah.
So sad, dude.
Yeah.
I would have liked it so much more.
Oh, man. So many things would have been better with Idris Elba in it.
I wish there was a way to show the audience the dreamy staring off into the sky position Chowder has when he talks about Idris Elba.
I mean, do you not?
Can we get a Bastion 2 that's narrated by Idris Elba?
Ooh. Yeah. That'd be really
Let's make it happen.
The poetry.
That'd be dope.
Just make that happen. Yeah.
Luther is such a good show, purely just because of his voice.
Yeah. I actually haven't watched Luther
dude.
Yet, but I will.
I know.
I wish he talked more in Star Trek Beyond because he had such a good affectation to
his face.
Voice.
Was so great. Effed at the end of that.
So I'm going to talk about things now. Hey guys, it's
Next
not me.
Next, we move on. Next, we.
Next. You're not Idris Elba. You're not my real Idris.
Next, we move on to a woman who was deprived of TV for most of her life. Her days spent in the spine of a
so
book.
A treat.
I can't think of more. I can't think of more descriptions. Just
and she's diabetic.
Yeah, I got the beats.
She nearly died before this podcast.
Also, kind of true.
Well, they don't call it livabetic.
Well, I bring to thee. Laura.
I'm gonna shoot myself.
Hey guys, it's me. So today I am going to be talking about the TV show that aired on HBO this past year, Westworld.
She talks about dun, dun, Westworld. Dun.
Yeah, we were gonna talk about Westerns, and then we kind of moved into this, like, you know, looking at the past, and somehow the Western thing just kind of stuck. Also, it's just such a good show. So Westworld is a show, if
the
you
movie
haven't seen
that
it.
Came out in 1979.
Okay, I specifically said I was talking about the show, though, not the movie, because I don't know anything about the movie.
I'm specifically being a douche.
Oh, man, that's new.
When are you not being a douche? Yeah.
I just gave him a face.
Detention.
It was this.
I feel it.
It was a
no,
face.
No, I just gave him a face.
So.
I want another burger.
Oh,
the
God.
Burger comes back with a vengeance.
Let her talk.
All right. So Westworld, the TV show, is about this Western village, and the show kind of starts out and you're in the past taking a train into a old West town with a saloon and, you know, people in Western clothes, and it feels like it's definitely the past. And then all of a sudden you realize that it's this gigantic theme park, and we're in the future, and the theme park is filled with very lifelike robots that they call hosts in the show. And these robots are basically there to allow the visitors of this park to live out all of their Wild West fantasies, which can be anything from, you know, going and capturing the nearest rogue or scoundrel while working with the local police or the sheriff's department, or raping and murdering everyone that they can see with their eyeballs.
Oh, not okay. A very pleasant experience.
Moving right along. So the show took some inspiration from a video game some people may have heard of called Red Dead Redemption.
No way.
In that the world that they designed actually looked at video game mechanics to design basically an open world where these people can come in and just interact with people. That's kind of how they came up with the rules for how hosts talk to each other. It's like, how would you do a super smart, non-playable character in a video game? They also took a lot of inspiration from Bioshock.
Those are things that I definitely knew before. And it's great.
Bioshock!
So the show is this really complicated look into kind of the human psyche and what the future technology means to representing the past and how people react to both the past and the future and the present and all that, you know, stuff that has to do with time. But they also throw...
Speaking of time... No, I won't get into spoilers.
Oh, I was about to go there.
Oh, go. So go I'm going to go. No,
there. This is super spoiler heavy. If you haven't watched the show and you have any interest in watching a really great TV show, please stop listening to what I'm about to say and go watch the show first.
You have been forewarned.
Because it's really worth it. So
gave them a heads up. They didn't listen.
Can you so, like wave one your of hand the... when I can start listening again?
Sure.
Oh god. Yeah. Oh shit, Pat has to watch Westworld. Alright. Okay.
Oh my okay, god. No, wait, really.
Actually, I need to bow out too.
No! Like... Okay, Laura, let's talk about Westworld without them. So
okay, cool.
Do you want to talk about that? Respond to anything you
do you
want
to talk about just this like, crazy spoiler?
I'm gonna wave my hand when you can talk again. Holy shit, apparently something huge just happened. Two of the four of us have not seen Westworld yet.
Whoops.
So that's fun. So another really complicated twist that this TV show takes place is that the main character throughout most of the show...
Hi, I'm Pat. I'm talking about Westworld.
...is a hero that falls in love with one of the hosts, who is another of the main characters. They do a really great job of having the hosts and the humans be main characters along each other.
Hi, I'm Chowder. I'm talking about Westworld. I'm
alongside each other. But one of the humans who comes in as a visitor falls in love with a host, and she keeps on, you know, becoming more and more sentient as time goes on. And there's a man in black, nice Dark Tower reference, who is like super evil and just comes to the park to live out his darkest fantasies of killing and murdering and raping.
And then
he was the main hero who fell in love with this girl at the beginning, and it's been 30 years and she hasn't actually aged because she's a robot, and it's so crazy pants.
I found that out in episode 3.
No.
And then when they actually made that reveal, I was just like, lazy.
That's so shitty.
Lazy writing. But really, I just had it spoiled for me. No, it was great. They handled that so well. The actual
really
visuals of
job.
Her against the church was a lot more striking than it was so simple. It was very striking.
Yeah, they did a really good job where I don't even think that I saw it coming. I didn't have it spoiled for me, and I didn't see it coming until it actually happened. And I was just like, oh my God. So
that's what she said.
That's definitely what she said. I don't know. I feel uncomfortable with that. Please edit that out. Okay. but
look at that chatter, not getting to participate. I'm going to screenshot this. All right. I'm going to wave.
Patrick and Chowder return.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back to the podcast. You're
Thanks for joining us back again, guys.
Guess who's back?
Shut up.
Pat and Chowder.
But basically, it's a show that has a lot of really complicated timelines that really merge in an amazing way. Cool. And it is a literal Western.
It's going to be real fucking hard for Chowder to ask you any questions.
Whoopsies.
We should also check this shit in the future. Spoilers? Like,
yeah.
Have we all seen Stranger Things?
I've seen Stranger Things.
No,
yeah.
But I don't actually want to. I've seen like 5 episodes and I can't keep going.
I actually understand.
Well, speaking of Stranger Things, Chowder, do you want to do an unfortunate narration into Pat's domain?
I don't know if Pat's ready.
Have we switched to a series of unfortunate events type narration? Because I can do that all day. It's the Patrick Warburton up in here. Yeah.
Next up, we have a man.
The poison band is specially for Cusco. Cusco's poison.
Cusco's poison.
Right.
They do an imitation of Kronk.
Doesn't make any logical sense.
It's not half bad.
Damn it, I didn't get the screenshot. I tried.
Laura has failed the podcast.
Next up, we have Pat.
I'm on Stranger Things again. It's a dope-ass show.
Dope-ass show.
What brings Stranger Things into the realm of, like, possibility when talking about things that deal with the past? It's a show set in the 1980s, so that's, like, kind of in the past already, but...
It's more than kind of in the past. It's literally in the past.
It's a show about these kids who are, like, pretty nerdy, pretty geeky, kind of like some people we know. Stuff starts to get pretty strange with them in the 1980s. One of them goes missing, and the entire show is about trying to find him and get him back.
Will! I want to roll a 10 for perception to find Will.
Colin rolls a 10 for perception.
Oh, D10. I
don't you want to roll?
You would roll a D20, yeah, no. But good try.
Right, that's what I was about to say.
I don't understand how you're the co-creator and you know nothing about D&D.
Oh my god, okay.
Whatever. Back to Stranger Things. They end up meeting this other, like...
Stranger Thing?
She's kind of a stranger.
She's
thing.
A stranger.
Stranger She's danger.
Her name is Eleven. She is a child just like the rest of them. It's a good time. They start to, like, learn about everything. And then more people go missing. Poor Barb. She's just, like, so glossed over.
Don't forget Barb.
It also follows the families of these boys. And the last character that actually, like... matters, I guess, in the long run of my argument is this police officer named Hopper. The way the show kind of incorporates the past is
being set in it.
Okay, yes, it's set in the past, but it then uses it uses the character's past as a nightmare for them. For an example, we get to see a lot of anxiety out of the character of Jim Hopper. He pops Xanax all the time. He smokes, like, he drinks, trying to forget his daughter, who was diagnosed with cancer as a child and sadly passed away, and he couldn't save her. The show kind of uses that as motivation for him to try to help find this missing kid. A lot of people just want to give up on it because it's a missing kid, whatever. Like,
in a world where characters are haunted by their past.
So,
in a world where characters are haunted by their past.
You're killing me.
Laurie, your turn.
In a world where characters By their past.
Another character that, like, gets haunted by their own past is Eleven herself.
She is not a kid just like them. She has powers in her nosebleeds.
Okay, but not her fault. So Eleven was taken as a child from her mom and placed under a series of tests by her dad. He tests her and starts to, like, manipulate her into being able to do telekinetic, and she actually makes contact with this thing that is known as the Demogorgon.
The demon gurgles.
Originally, she turns away from the Demogorgon, but her dad puts her back in the isolation chamber, which he uses in order to do this stuff, and makes her make contact, which ends up opening the rift, which ends up causing all this stuff, and the Demogorgon drags Will, the first kid that went missing, into this rift, and then they have to go into that rift and take him back. So honestly, all of the stuff that happens in each character's past plays a role in motivating them to find Will and save the day from Stranger Things.
To sum it up, shit went down.
Shit went down.
It's a great show. You should watch it, especially you, Laura, because I don't know why the fuck you don't like it. But
it's not that I don't.
Like, it is so efficient. Every single shot and item and person and movement, like, moves something forward or characterizes something.
Every single episode is its own three-act structure. And then there's also a three-act structure throughout the entire series. And fucking, like...
It's very dense, but probably the most digestible... It's good. I'm really not that
intrigued. I've watched, like, 5 episodes, and I'm just like, eh.
Let's move on to the discussion portion of this podcast,
where we discuss the things we have mentioned.
So as I've said before, Bastion can be described as a Western fantasy. It's got all the trappings of a Western, but it's in this fantastical setting. And I think it comes down pretty hard on moving forward. That's what the final decision is about. Do you rewind time and just relive a past that wasn't as good as you think it was?
Yes, it's comfortable. Don't make me try new things.
But the narrator specifically says he doesn't know if reverting it will stop the calamity. He's never been able to test it.
Fun fact, if you go and actually play the new game plus mode, which means you beat the game and start it over,
it's implied that it doesn't.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting that they took that to the next level.
The next level.
The next level.
So
I like Laura's epic voice that just came out of this episode.
So my question
Can you read children's books?
Sure.
So my question...
Well, let me go find one.
I do not like great eggs and ham.
So the first question I have to you guys is, when it comes to each of your domains, how does it see the past? Does it romanticize it? Does it deconstruct it? Does it sidestep it? What does it do with it?
Oh, I can't talk about this without
you guys having seen the episode of the show.
You
totally can. You can all speak right, it without using specific nouns. But I'll go first. I'll give you time to think about it.
Sure.
So I think the way that the dark... I almost said the dark powder. Gross.
The powder that makes you say yes?
Oh, no. So I think that the Dark Tower doesn't really sidestep. It almost makes the past a mythical thing. So when you start in a Western world and like them talking about Jesus, it just kind of says, let's just make it in a theory. Let's treat it as if it were any other mythical thing of the past. And that almost made these things that most of us know more interesting. The other way it happens is Jake, the boy.
The boy?
My son. Yeah.
This is Jake from State Farm. What are you wearing, Jake from State Farm?
He can't really remember our world from which he hails.
Khakis.
But he keeps getting memories of just like, oh yeah, it's like a subway. And then Roland's like, what's a subway? He's like, I don't actually know. So there are like words and concepts from our world littered throughout it. So I think it doesn't quite sidestep it. It doesn't quite romanticize it. Dark Tower did something pretty interesting. And I think the mythical nature of it is, again, why I linked it to Bastion.
Hmm.
Interessante.
So I think that Westworld plays with the past a little bit more than Bastion does, where a lot of the story is told concurrently with different timelines, but you don't necessarily know that until the reveal actually happens. I'm trying so hard not to like...
Hashtag Dunkirk.
Oh my God, that's kind of like Primer.
I'm trying so hard not to like ruin this in any way, shape, or form, because it is really worth watching. But I think what's really interesting is that it romanticizes the past for a lot of the show, and then kind of like smacks you in the face with it, because the thing about these hosts are that they're wiped clean.
I tried to smack my face, but I have a beard, so it didn't make very much sound.
So it pulls a sort of bait and switch on its audience.
Yeah, it definitely does.
It picks this as nice at first, only to pull the rug out from under.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and these... You know, it's really interesting because these hosts are robots. And so every time they die or every time there's a new cycle, they're wiped and they're put out to like live the same loop every time.
Yeah.
There are ways in which these robots are becoming more sentient and remembering things that happened in past cycles and even past storylines. And so it romanticizes the past from the visitor's perspective and really starts to break down the past from the host perspective on, like, some really fucked up shit happens to these robots.
Like, imagine if you're playing Skyrim and your first time through, you kill the guy who gives you a sword the first time, and then the second time you play through Skyrim, he's like, why'd you fucking kill me the last time around? You're like, you're not supposed to remember that!
Yeah.
That's what's happening all the time in the show.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to remember that.
You weren't supposed to remember that.
So it really like plays with time. I think that that's something that the show does really, really well, is just plays with time all over the place. And you never really know like what's past, what's future, what's happening now. You know, which cycle are we in? Are we in?
Right now we're in cycle five. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. That's really helpful.
Meta jokes.
That's how we track episodes in our podcast.
Ew. And I enjoyed that.
And I enjoyed that.
Laura does a narration voice.
Shadow keeps trying to channel his inner Rux. He does a bad job.
Laura, I'm going to start a post-hardcore band, and I want you to be the vocalist. Okay, you're gonna be the vocalist in this post-hardcore band, and you're gonna only sing like that. We're gonna be so good.
Do you want to answer the time question in regards to your domain?
Okay. I think the question was more specifically about how they interpret the past, not time in itself. So I'm gonna talk about the past.
Just do it,
Tina. Eat the food. All right, so in terms of Stranger Things, the way the characters...
Can we talk about Napoleon Dynamite?
No, fuck you. Talk about the past.
Yeah. Oh, shit, we really should have.
Talk about the past.
In terms of the way that the characters in Stranger Things deal with the past, the vast majority of them are trying to escape their pasts. They're trying to move on, find ways to get over it, but not necessarily address the things in their past that are causing them the pain that they currently feel. So, again, with Hopper, he's trying to get over his dead daughter, and it's really hard for him, so he's popping pills, smoking, drinking, and all that stuff. But he finds comfort in helping, what's her name? Will's mom.
Winona Ryder.
Yeah, but like in the fucking...
Christmas Light Lady.
God, yeah, Christmas Light Lady.
Mrs. Will's mom.
Mrs. Will's mom. He finds comfort in helping Mrs. Will's mom.
Amanda, Will's mom? Spock's mother from Star Trek 2009.
Shut up. So he finds comfort there. And then we have like...
That's two Star Trek drops in one episode. Eat a dick.
We have Jonathan, who is trying to be this figure for his brother Will that is like kind of a father figure, but he just wants to be his friend. He wants to like
a brother figure,
be there for him and give him
Colin
a role model to look up to, because their dad was like not he was around for a while and then just left because he couldn't deal with it, I guess. But while Joyce, fuck, that was her name. anyway, Jonathan is being a role model because while their dad was around, he was trying to kind of make Will do things that are seen as more masculine, like go to baseball games and play some sports, stop reading so much, don't play Dungeons and Dragons, all this other shit, because he was a dick. And Jonathan's just like, fuck that, do whatever you want. He doesn't care about you. I care about you. I'm going to be your best friend. Boom. So a lot of them are just trying to like push their past away, but Jonathan is the only one who seems to be like really trying to make his family a better place.
All I fucking cared about listening to was how cool Ruck's voice was and when he was talking about the guns I was using.
Colin, yeah. It's a very good story. It's a very meaningful story.
It is. And also, those proving grounds when he's talking about you learning how to use weapons and you have to... the proving grounds are like trial stages where you have to like learn how to use each individual gun.
I never went to them. Melee weapon. I didn't go to any.
Oh,
of them.
I did. Oh, I did all of them. They were great. And he's always just like, "Yeah, some sheriffs could knock all these out in a single shot." And I'm like, "They could? Let me see if I can do that." And then I did. And that's
the point.
So Colin's past has this wonderful moment in it when he played Bastion, and he's embracing and reliving this.
That's kind of my thing. Is Rux's understanding of the past informed his character, but the design of how they chose to implement that was much more far-reaching than just talking about the past. And that's what compelled me about Bastion. It wasn't the past. It wasn't the historical thing. And to be honest, that's not what compelled me about Dark Tower either. It was about, like, I'm fascinated by just how Roland chooses to interact with the world and the value he places on other people.
My next question is, so the Western is a genre that's fallen out of fashion. When you see it come up nowadays, it's usually in the context of historical fiction, or it's mixed in with another genre in order to make it more palatable, such as, say...
Like The Dark Tower.
Like Westworld.
The Hateful Eight.
Yeah, exactly.
Not like Stranger Things.
Like A Thousand Ways to Die in the West.
Oh my god, a million ways. So funny. Oh my god. Mila Kunis, Mila Kunis.
Cowboys versus aliens, you know?
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
That's a straight Western. Why did you call me out on that?
It's from the past.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. My bad. Moving on.
Yeah, or it's got a very cynical bent to it, like the good, the bad, and the ugly.
What the hell was that?
My cat just took a shit.
Well, I thought you were passing out a kidney stone.
Here it happened live. Colin Cass. Whatever. I can't talk.
Colin Cass's
kidney stone.
It smells
so bad. I wanted to record in the living room. God. I know this is bad for audio, but I don't care.
It's cool. Just don't talk.
The optimist in me wants to believe that the reason the Western has fallen out of fashion is because we've come to understand that the actions that the Americans took during westward expansionism, it was kind of fucked up. The treatment of the Native Americans, the invasion of Mexico, what have you.
Brokeback Mountain.
Sorry. I think...
And I wanted your thoughts... And I wanted your thoughts on how it's handled here in Bastion and in your domains.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
I do, actually.
This
pillow
off of my face.
I want to talk about it too.
Yeah, keep that there. So I actually had a similar experience to Colin about getting the story of Bastion. But I think what's interesting is that the way that I took Bastion as a Western was taking all of like the romanticized good parts of Westerns, which is like, you know, the gunslinging and the adventuring out into unknown territories and smash all the pots you want to get those little shard piece of things. You know, like,
that's
obviously
fun.
There is a greater story about, you know, one land taking over another and one people taking over another, but that's really not what I got out of it. What I got was like the just roaming around with some big old weapons and shooting things, which I thought was fun.
that the fall of prominence of the Western as a genre, I don't think I'd call it a fall. I think that it's hard to sustain a genre that is in one specific setting, because genres and settings are different, and to confuse the two is going to limit the execution you have. I think that to say the setting of a Western is still interesting, but like anything else, you need to evolve it and find new ways to implement it. And I think what Bastion successfully channels is parts of the setting, the tone. I think it gets more of a Western tone than anything with the way that Rux talks and the way that the world presents itself.
Well, and the music that they use. I mean, they intentionally choose Western music.
Yeah.
The music's
super interesting because it's not just like straight up Western music. It's like this, it's really hard to describe the kind of genre because it ranges from like tribal beats to trip hop to,
but it's still barring things that would channel the tone, specific instruments we would associate with it, but the composition of it is very standard fare. Western is a setting. It's not a genre, it's a setting. I mean, you can say sci-fi, but Star Trek is set in a very different world than Star Wars. They're the same genre, but totally different setting.
Right.
What we're seeing with things like Westworld and Bastion and Stranger Things especially, I think more Stranger Things than anything, is a renaissance of how to make this interesting while still staying true to the things that that made it popular in the first place without retaining those offensive aspects you're talking about.
I can see that. All right. So
Stranger Things is my favorite Western.
Fuck off.
My question to Patrick. So Stranger Things.
Ooh, I'm Patrick now.
Patrick, Patty Cakes.
Stranger Pats.
P-Cakes.
Patter things.
Knick-knack, paddywhack. Give a dog a bone.
Give a dog a things.
This old man went going home.
God, that was terrifying.
Poop update. My room smells less like shit.
Well, you're still there, so.
Stranger Things is very steeped in 80s nostalgia. It's How does that play along with what you were talking about before, about these characters who are trying to run from their past?
That's really hard.
Sorry.
I mean, not having watched it, I think it's really interesting that we talked about this a little bit in the nostalgia episode.
Oh, yeah, that qualifies you to talk about
of, that. Like, when you set it in the past, you're trying to draw on the past and you're trying to romanticize it so that people get interested and get into the show to be like, oh, I want to relive all these things. And then it draws you into whatever the story they're actually trying to tell.
Yeah, right. To me, I think one of the biggest things from the past that they brought in that actually moved the story in a much more like high tension situation was them bringing in Dr. Brenner, who is Eleven's dad, and kind of casting him in this government mindset of he's doing this weird testing on her brain in order to use her to spy on the Russians, like bringing the Cold War fear back and providing a different context to this little town and
bring back the
like
fear.
Michigan or something like that, where nothing ever happens, nothing bad ever happens. Like somebody's cat is in a tree, and that's the biggest call.
Someone's cat is in a tree.
The biggest call the police have to deal with.
The cat is in danger.
Danger cats.
They kind of drew on the CIA mind control program MK Ultra a little bit to try to bring that in and interest people. What?
He's laughing about
the name
danger
of
cats.
The show should be Danger Cats.
Oh my god. I can't do it with you. So they play along those things, and then on the other side they're romanticizing things from our past, like when Dungeons and Dragons were a thing. In the new trailer they romanticize the idea of an old like arcade that you just go and play games, not even back when arcade games you put the quarter in, you just tried to beat the game, you didn't get any fucking tickets out of it.
I have good memories of playing, just pouring quarters into Metal Slug.
Dude, Metal Slug, Gauntlet, Time Crisis. Time Crisis is like shit.
That's
so good. And now the only time I can play it is when I go to Dave and Buster's, and it's lame.
There's a place near me where you pay, I think it's like $10 an hour to play unlimited games.
Oh my god.
It's a huge arcade.
I wanna go.
It's really cool. It's in an old bank too.
Nice.
Pat, she lives in New Jersey. We can't do that. We're not going to New
planes
Jersey.
Planes exist, bro.
It's true.
Why don't we fly to fucking New Jersey? We're in New York.
I'm in Arizona.
Oh, Colin, you just dropped your friend card right on the ground.
It was at this point Colin forgot geography.
And Colin forgot that his friend was in Arizona.
Finds his lifelong friend just lying in the road. Well, it's a touching reunion.
You're also going to Texas and might possibly be moving there for good, so.
We don't know that yet. Sheesh.
I said possibly, dumb fuck.
Damn, girl! You're messing with some danger cats right now.
Oh, God.
person who doesn't remember where I live. This is why I like Austin better than you.
No, Austin is where I'm going.
Next, we move on to the rating. Each of the representatives will rate Bastion out of 5 squirts. Squirts are a reoccurring enemy in the game.
Same in Westworld. With all the sex.
I feel like fewer squirts would be better in that context.
It's all very sterile because they're robots.
I guess it depends on which side of the squirt you're on, you know?
I'm going to rate Bastion, this lovely little video game, 4 out of 5. This, nice.
4 out of 5 what?
4 out of 5 squirts. And I really enjoyed this game. As you can tell by the things I've said, I was much more compelled by the tone, style, and the gameplay, actually, than I think the story and the characters. Not to say that they aren't valuable or worthwhile. Reading through the story after the fact was actually kind of fun. But great game. A lot of fun. I might play it again, voluntarily. Chatter's not paying me to do that.
I would really recommend the spiritual successor, Transistor.
I'm gonna skip you and pass it over to Laura.
Oh, thanks, Colin.
Colin made the executive decision.
That's what I wanted you to do. I'm so happy.
So I am going to rate Bastion also 4 out of 5 squirts. It's a super fun game. I played it on the train to and from work, and 3 times I almost forgot to get off at my stop because I was in the middle of playing, and I was like, oh, now's the time, I gotta leave now.
That's some real danger cats right there.
So it was super danger cats. I'm living on the edge. I will also use Colin. I need you to attest to something for me.
Oh.
I fall off of literally everything in video games. And this whole fucking game is falling
off. Do remember, Rux will narrate about you falling off.
And then he falls to his death. I'm just fooling.
Yes, he does.
We played a game of Halo 5 once where it was just Laura and I against another team because our teammates quit. She fell off the edge of the map 3 times. The game thought she was griefing, kicked her, and left me on my own to fight the other fucking team. And that's not even a game where you can just walk off the edge like Bastion.
No,
like,
no, I had to try.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to go ahead and say the fact that you were using WASD to move did not help.
It didn't. Yeah. It really
in
didn't.
An isometric game.
Yeah, because those don't line up.
It did not. It was not super helpful.
To be fair, I actually played this on WASD as well. So.
It was just like super fun. I enjoyed the new, you know, weapons that they gave you every once in a while and the ability to kind of choose your own build. And it was just really pretty. I do dock it for points because I do have such an issue falling off of things, and there was literally no, like, there was no help for me. There was no saving me from that.
It's surrounded by a death
pit. Yeah, you were literally, the whole thing's platforms.
Pekka. So, I feel really bad about doing this, but I'm also giving it 4 out of 5.
Oh!
Oh.
Because
this is one of the highest rated things.
Damn. It's a good game.
Bastion is one of those games where you're sitting there and you're playing it, and you're just like, there's literally nothing about this that I don't like. However, there are some things that I would like to see added to the game. Like, for me, the new game plus is not enough to make me want to come back and play it, and it's already kind of a short game. So, like, to me, Bastion just is not at that level yet, and I would like to see a little bit more. But it's still 4 out of 5, even like a little bit more, just because it's a beautiful game. It's like so well done, and it came from an indie studio. Like, fuck, dude.
Wow, yeah, like indies can't make great games.
I'm not saying they can't make great games, it's just like most indies don't have the money.
They face more limitations.
They don't have the money to do this.
Yeah, I actually liked that it was self-contained.
Yeah, it is. This is one of the highest rated things on this podcast. I'm quite surprised. All right.
You chose a good one.
Bastion's fucking awesome.
Good for you.
Well, it's not.
Was it good for you?
Well, I had the Sonic episode, so I still cry myself to sleep.
Let's move on to the gold star portion. This is where I, the host, will grant one of the representatives what is effectively a gold star for contributing to the conversation the best. And the gold star for this episode will be Logan Cunningham's voice.
Oh, I want to win that.
A golden voice. So tangible, wow.
This is a tough one, because y'all all have so much to contribute.
Oh my god, that was so much more than I expected. Danger cats.
Let me know when I should start the drum roll, because I have like a good way of doing it this time.
Back.
Start it.
Drum roll, please.
That's good.
And the winner of Logan Cunningham's voice is Patrick Brem.
Fuck yeah! Let's go!
Yeah.
Second time.
Yeah. Patrick Rimp. Pratchett. Pat.
And that's all.
I like to think that I would have won if 2 out of 4 of our people could have listened to my section.
But, like, I think Pat had more of an uphill battle to this conversation because he was talking about something that wasn't a Western while you guys had that jumping off point. I think Pat was able to really contribute to the conversation using Stranger Things. So
cool.
Thanks, everybody.
I tried to sabotage you by changing your domain to Danger Cats.
I just thought you were talking about Danger Cats.
And that brings a conclusion to our podcast. Again, I'm Chowder, or Timol, but you can call me the host. And this week's topic was Bastion, with the theme being
Chowder talking at a terrible Logan Cunningham impression.
The theme was Chowder's terrible Logan Cunningham impersonation. You can check out Bastion. You can check out Bastion on Steam and good old games. And
I played it on my Xbox!
Anywhere video games are sold.
Yes. Our next episode will be hosted by
me, right?
Laura.
Yeah, I am hosting our next episode. The topic will be the 100. That's how that works, right? Yep. Ooh, the topic will be the 100.
The 100 what?
It's a TV show.
0 to 100.
And the theme will be about made up languages. It will not host Colin.
Honestly, you should have Colin sub out with somebody because, like, he can actually speak ubby dubby.
Vubberubby flubbo lubby abby abad. And I know a little Klingon, so.
Yeah. I think I might have to not, though.
Colin is a fucking nerd.
Colin's a fucking nerd. Come on into,
Be sure anyway. To read up before it airs next week on
Netflix and Hulu, I believe.
Hulu.
Be sure to read up before it airs next week on
It's on the schedule.
I don't have the schedule opened.
We always fuck this part up.
Yeah.
I didn't fuck it up on mine. Thank you very much.
Well, okay.
So wait, are you supposed to put the emphasis on the or the vowel?
Ubba, bubby, dubba, bubby.
The episode will air on September the 1st.
Holy shit.
17.
I'm not ready for that.
Why are you not ready for September?
Because I feel like it's last year.
Aw.
But it's August tomorrow.
It's okay. All right.
I get paid 3 times this month. Let's go.
I want to go to bed. Okay. I want to go to bed. I want to go to bed.
If any of you listening want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Geeking Program or email us at commongeekingprogram@gmail.com. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. It's a great way for more people to find our show, as is recommending us to comrades.
Recommending.
If you want to know more, go to commongeekingprogram.com.
It's all pretty now.
Oh my goodness. That voice, all right. That voice killed my throat.
Yeah, it killed my goddamn ears.
I loved it.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Timol Chowdhury, or Chowder, whichever you prefer. He was joined by the likes of Colin Ketchin, Laura Kramer, and Patrick Brett, with this week's episode being sponsored by Bad Impressions. I think you've had enough of this now. So, the podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Colin Ketchin, featuring original music also by me. Now, I also want to announce that after our raffle for all of last cycle, that's the previous 8 episodes, we have a winner. Mr. Kevin Kassane will be picking the topic of a future episode, and we'll let you know more about that as it comes up. But next week, make sure to tune in as we talk about the 100, and thank you for listening to this.
I was wondering if we're actually going to go there now.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Oh, here it comes. Breaking some barriers. My friend just got her IUD replaced, and we were at work, and she's explaining to me, like, the difficulties of removing her old and installing her new IUD.
And installing? I was just
like, yeah. What? That's the right word. Whatever.
Inserting, I think, is probably what they usually say.
No, not based on this description. I learned a lot more about my friends.
I'm pretty sure you just learned about vaginas in general. I'm sure hers
is not. It goes inside! It doesn't poke out! What is that?
It's getting uncomfortable.
Colin, you know that, like, pee doesn't come out of the same place, right?
What?
We just clapped. One minute.
That's why you don't have to take your tampon out when you go to the bathroom.
Really? Because I thought that's what the 2 holes on my dick were for. It's like a little flute.
Is it like your two buttholes, but two penis holes instead?
Colin has double the amount of orifices on every part of his body.
Well, yeah, because I was trying to pass a kidney stone and it just went out the wrong side.
Let's climb to 30.
Colin is a freak of nature.
5 seconds.